While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. You know what? I got a brand new security system at my house. And when you ring the doorbell now, it's a witch's cackle.
Stop it right now. They have that just programmed in, or you put it in?
They have like options. It was really cool. They have all these different options you can get for like the doorbell sound. And if you guys don't know, like my house in LA, it looks like a witch's house. It's like an old storybook house. It looks like a witch's cottage. So I'm super stoked on that.
I would be too. That's amazing.
Let me see if I can find the video. I took a video of it for Angel. Let me see if I can find it. I'll play it for you. How's your day been?
It's been good. I'm still recovering from my trip, but other than that, it's good.
I feel like I'm still recovering from my trip too, even though it was a minute ago. Because like I only like a few days ago got my luggage finally.
Oh,
it was
good.
Just, yeah.
At least you got it back. Totally. Is everything in there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's so fun. The only sad part about it is nobody ever comes to my house to ring the doorbell.
It's
so
true.
I don't know how often I'll hear it, but you know.
Well, maybe your DoorDash or whatever can like ding it for you.
Delivery people. And it'll probably scare them because you hear it outside.
Oh, my God.
So they'll probably be like, what is happening? But anyway, what we're here to talk about today is the episode. This is one of my favorites of the season. It's called Go West, Young Girl. What's so funny?
I'm just going to say, you're going to talk about it because I'm not even in this episode.
I know. We discussed this the other day because like, as you guys will see, as we talk about it, like Bridget's not in it till the very end. And I know there's a couple episodes I felt that way about myself that we've reviewed so far. I don't remember what they are. And not that I wasn't in it till the end, but just certain episodes where I remember feeling so uninvolved that I'm either like, I'm just going to let Bridget talk about this, or I don't want to talk about this because it's all Kendra. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, this one, when I saw the title, I couldn't even think of what this episode could possibly be about. Like, I was like, what is this one?
It's a very random title. Like, for those who don't know, it comes from the saying, go west, young man, which was like a 19th century thing people would say about like encouraging men to like go west in the United States to like seek their fortune back in the frontier days.
Yes.
But this kind of refers to like coming out west to California. And I even thought of it kind of as like they would call the studio in Santa Monica Playboy Studio West, mm-hmm. as opposed to the unused studio in Chicago, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And Playboy Mansion West. So this episode first aired on January 27th, 2008. The number one song was still
Get Low, Get Low, Get Low.
Apple
get
Bottom
low.
Jeans. Low by Flo Rida and T-Pain.
To the wall.
And then the number two song was No One by Alicia Keys. And the number three song was Too Late to Apologize.
Oh, no.
Which that one was like a private joke for me and some of the other girls because Saskia would sing it in the studio, but she would sing it really funny. So that was just like, that song is like a portal back in time for me.
Right.
100%. I think it got famous on The Hills too. Like I didn't watch The Hills at the time. I feel like I was a little too old for it, but that song I think got famous on The Hills. They used it on there. The number one movie at the time was Meet the Spartans, which was like a spoof of like The Gladiator and The 300 type movies. Did we ever watch that?
I don't think so.
Carmen Electra was in it. I feel like Carmen Electra is very underrated.
I could see that.
Of all like the 90s bombshells. She was so funny in all those movies.
Yeah.
Did you see her in the Jenny McCarthy movie, Dirty Love?
No, I don't think so.
You should watch it. She was so funny in that. She just had this, she was this weird character. She was really funny. So the idea for this episode originated from Kevin and I talking about possibly doing a contest show related to finding playmates, kind of like a top model, but for playmates. He wanted to call it Beautiful. I don't know if I love that name, but that was kind of like
it? Beautiful?
The working title. Yeah. And it didn't go anywhere because Kevin floated it by E! And probably some other networks. And people kind of felt like being a playmate wasn't a big enough prize for the show. Which I feel like is kind of dumb because we could have padded it. Like you could have like, well, I mean, maybe they felt like it was too daunting because we allegedly had sponsor issues with Girls Next Door. But like you could have padded it with sponsors and like made the prize bigger in other ways.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So that kind of didn't really go anywhere. So I kind of wanted to do like my mini version of it for this episode, have four girls come out to test and we pick a winner who gets centerfold. And there was always a stream of women coming in to test. We would usually test about four women a month. And of those, you know, you'd usually get, you know, not every month, but it would average out like a playmate a month. And then if the girls wanted to be cyber girls from their tests, they would, the ones that didn't make it. And so we kind of were on the lookout for girls we thought would be good for the show. And this episode opens with just a montage of Santa Monica, which I don't know if we've seen like a montage of Santa Monica on the show before.
Not that I am aware of.
So it's definitely a different place to open this episode. And it's such a true to life opening. Like it's such a slice of life for me because you see the studio. I'm there just like riding my skateboard down the concrete hallways. And it's just like what I would wear. I wasn't dressed up special, carrying my Starbucks, my pretentious briefcase. And that was just what life was like on the day to day. And I think you can see just seeing me like walk in on the skate, you can see why I loved my job.
Yeah.
It was very my comfort zone.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
It's interesting. In commentary right here, I say, You go, oh, Santa Monica, that's where I live now. Because for a while you had like a condo there. And then I ask, is it true they're moving the studio? And you say, yes, but I'll quit.
Yeah, there were rumors that they were going to move the Playboy studio over to like Altadena or Glendale or wherever it was. And by that time, I'd already moved out of the mansion. I wanted to hang on to my job. But I mean, the studio, honestly, was so much a part of what I loved.
And it
I
was just his thought, own character.
It was. And I remember like falling in love with it when we were shooting our Playboy pictorial because it was the opposite of the mansion. It was still Playboy, but it was the opposite of the mansion. Everything was light and bright and modern. Not that I necessarily prefer modern architecture, but it was just the opposite feel. Everything felt light and professional and fun and like people wanted you there, which was the opposite of how I felt at the mansion a lot of the times. And, you know, I'd already moved out of the mansion by the time we're doing commentary. So it wasn't the easy thing. Like I was no longer at the mansion to drive the girls to work every day. And I just felt like if they move the studio, I don't even know if I still want to do this job.
Yeah.
And I wonder when they moved out of the Santa Monica studio, because they did sell it eventually. And
I
probably
have no idea.
It probably wasn't too many years after we left. I was talking to somebody who interned there after we left, and she sent me all these pictures she took of the studio before they left because she was like sentimental about it. And she's like, I took all these pictures and all the same, you know, centerfolds are up in the hallway and Sarah's picture in the makeup room and all that stuff. So yeah, I was like, I would quit I ended up quitting like not long after this commentary, but, and also in commentary, we're talking about the Girls Next Door coffee table book coming out. We're excited about that in that timeline.
Yeah. In interview, you talk about how you are the junior photo editor at Playboy and you love your job. Not only do I edit photos, but I direct their photo shoots. I help come up with the concepts. And if Hef didn't think I was doing well, there'd be no way in hell I would be doing this job position because basically it's a joke that his girlfriend walked in there and got this job. If I wasn't doing the job well, I would not be here.
Yeah, I'm basically like acknowledging the nepotism of it all and just getting that elephant out of the room. But, you know, nepotism is half the battle. It's a huge part of the battle if you're on the other side of it and you don't have connections to anything, because if it gets you halfway there, it's fucking getting you halfway there.
Yeah.
But then you have to like do the job to stay. You know what I mean? Like you have to bring it as well.
Right.
And I walk in and we are doing Michelle's calendar shoot. The Playmate calendar was interesting because they would come out with a Playmate calendar every year. And what I would do is I would shoot the Playmate's whole pictorial, like the centerfold and all the small camera stuff. And it would be kind of like one continuous theme and concept. And then I would do something totally different for calendar.
Well, when they show her shooting, they don't even show that it's calendar. We talk about it being calendar in the commentary. So I feel like they're trying to show it as if you're directing a Playmate shoot right here.
Well, it was part of her shoot because we would do it all at the same time. Like I had it very, very streamlined. Like we would do... We would really only shoot for a week, which was like so different from the days before me when they would spend like 2 weeks on just the centerfold. But we would do a centerfold day. And on that day, we would get not just the centerfold, but we get like the lingerie version of the centerfold, which they would use like in Japan. And in, well, there was actually a separate one for Japan because Japan, like you had to cover the crotch. It could be topless. And then you had to have a lingerie version for like the lingerie calendar, which was different from the Playmate calendar. Ugh, so much stuff. So we would do like that centerfold day. And then we would do like two different small camera days. Small camera refers to like all the other photos that were used in the pictorial. And then we would do the day that was Playmate review and calendar, which were two different looks. And then we would do a day that was like promo, where we would do like the girl's headshot and her Operation Playmate headshot and stuff like that. So we would get it all done at once. So it was a lot of like
efficient.
Yeah. And a lot of like planning and organizing, which I loved that part of it.
And then an interview, Arnie is saying, and by before I even say what he says, underneath him again, it says Chief Playboy Photographer.
Have we seen a Steve lower third yet? I mean, I'm sure he's probably in this the same episode. Way. Yeah, but I didn't notice it.
I didn't see it in there. Maybe I need to watch it again and see. But Arnie says, I've been shooting for Playboy for 31 years. The typical day of my life has actually changed dramatically in the last few months with Holly in charge. Holly is a really great editor to work with, very pleasant, and she has really good taste. But Holly knows what she wants. If you show her and she says she likes it, you don't have to keep shooting over and over. So what used to take 5 days is down to one morning, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of
a chill because that's such a cool compliment.
Like, I know, I appreciate that so much. And it's so like true to life. And I think for him, it might be a little dig on how things used to be with Marilyn, because I know things were frustrating for him. And, you know, Marilyn did a great job, but I think things were like really tedious and really slow. And like, which to be fair, like, you know, she started when things were on film and you didn't see what you got until the next day or later. So it makes sense that you'd shoot like some backup stuff. But also like Arnie's the photographer too. And if he feels like we got it, we probably got it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, very efficient. And did you notice there's this point where Michelle has this tie and I go like, put it around your waist so it covers the crease in your back. Because everybody, when they like arch like this, you're going to get a crease in your back and nothing wrong with it. It's just kind of like a distracting thing in the photo. It's like cover it with the tie. But I feel like, do you think they included that to make it look like I'm like harping on somebody's body kind of?
That's interesting. I didn't even notice it, but if they left it in there, I think that there's a reason for it. Yeah. And that's probably the reason.
Yeah.
To make it, maybe not that necessarily you're harping on it, but just that how critical people are on the body and everything, every little thing has yeah. to be so perfect and stuff. So I think maybe it's more of that rather than like harping on her, but just like, look at all the little details and look at like, you can't even have a crease when you bend your back. Like we've got to hide that, you know?
But just so you guys know, like I would never so flippantly say like, cover your fat ass or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like it's not like anything wrong with anybody's body. It's just like anybody when they bend back is going to get a crease. So I didn't feel like it was any kind of like insult or anything like that. And hopefully she didn't. I don't think she did.
You guys, it's almost fall, and that is the perfect time to refresh your wardrobe with pieces that feel as good as they look. Luckily, Quince makes it easy to look polished, to stay warm, and save big without compromising on quality. Quince has all of your elevated essentials for fall. Think like 100% Mongolian cashmere for $50, washable silk tops and skirts, and perfectly tailored denim at all prices that feel too good to be true. Right now, I'm eyeing their wool coats. They look designer level, but cost a fraction of the price, and the quality just as good
if not better. By partnering directly with ethical, top-tier factories and cutting out the middleman, Quince cuts out the middleman to deliver luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. It's the kind of wardrobe upgrade that feels smart, stylish, and effortless. I'm about to leave on my trip to Italy, and I am definitely bringing my Quince tracksuits with me. They are so comfortable and cozy for lounging around the hotel room, but especially on the plane. I can't wait to wear them on the plane. So keep it classy and cozy this fall with long-lasting staples from Quince. Go to quince.com/next level for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/next level to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/next level. And then it shows you and Arnie walking down the hall together talking about what a good day you just had.
And Michelle looks so pretty.
She really does. And in commentary right here, I'm talking about how much I love our Girls Next Door calendar that's about to come out, the 2008 one.
Yeah. You know what I accidentally came across?
What?
A Reddit thread. And I hate it when I do that. And it wasn't even people being really mean, but even just the tiniest things. Like, they were critiquing our calendar, one of our calendars, probably the one you're talking about, because it's the one we shot in season 3 with, like, the snake and, like, the cowgirl and stuff like that. And it was, remember, they would come out with 2 different versions of the calendar. There would be a really big one. And those were like, and I think they picked different pictures for like the really big one and then the slightly smaller one.
Yeah.
And then the way this calendar was scanned into Reddit, the pictures were a little morphed. So like my boobs looked weird in one, but I know they don't look weird in the real picture. It was just like the scan. And people were like, Holly's boobs look weird. Holly's stiff in all the pictures. They did Holly dirty because her figure doesn't look good there. And I'm like, okay, guys.
Ew.
I mean, again, like, I just should not be looking at that stuff, no. But.
Well, I do agree.
I don't like my snake picture either. I think I look, because I have the snake around and I feel like we had a say in choosing our photos. I don't know if we didn't get the final say or what, because my snake picture was also one I didn't like. So the snake was around me and those snakes are strong as fuck and they're pushing like everything out on like my stomach and my sides. So I look like twice as wide as I usually do.
I remember you talking about that before, but I want to say, is it possible though, that I'm not even talking about our 2008 calendar, that I feel like I'm talking about the next one that's coming out where I did like the pirate and the grotto?
Probably, because that was the timeline.
And that's the one that I really loved, the last one that we did.
Oh, I really love your sets in those, like that Winter Wonderland and the pirate.
Oh my God,
those
me
are so
too.
Cool.
They're some of my favorites. So I feel like I'm not even referring to our past. I think I'm referring to the one that's coming out.
Yeah.
And because the way I'm saying it is like, I got a sneak peek of it or something, or it's about to come out or something, because I'm like, it's bomb. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, and I'm really loving our Girls Next Door book too. So I feel like I got like a rough draft of both of those things or something. And I'm like, you know, just like loving all the stuff that's about to come out.
Yeah, there were a lot of good pictures in both of those.
In an interview, you say, I really love my job, but there's a lot of responsibility. So I decided to ask Spencer Scott, who is Miss October 2007, to be my work assistant.
Yeah, the next scene is they cut back to the bunny logo on the outside of the studio and they start playing kind of this cutesy bumbling music. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Like, and I think it's because Spencer's coming along and they want to play her like she's this cute, lovable, bumbling, you know?
So in this scene, in commentary, when Spencer walks in, you make kind of a grunting noise. Like there's bad blood.
Oh, no, you know what? I noticed that a couple times about a couple different people in this episode, and I don't know what I'm referring to. I do that with Spencer and with Valerie, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, really? I thought maybe something happened.
Not at all. Not between her and I. I don't know if something happened between her and Playboy. Like maybe she was on the outs with Playmate Promotions. That was kind of like my first go-to when I noticed that I kind of made weird comments about Spencer. But also I noticed that I'm a raw nerve in this particular set of commentary. And I'm just kind of like, feisty isn't the right word for it, but I'm just kind of like a little bit negative.
Yeah.
Like I'm very raw nerve in general. So I think everything comes off a little more negative than I mean it.
It's interesting because I had really mixed feelings about watching this. And even at the time, I remember thinking, oh, that's so fake for the show, though.
Oh, it was 100% fake because this is the start. First of all, before we get to Spencer, can we talk about that box computer on my desk? It looks like an old box TV. It's such a blast from the past. And I have Marilyn's old pink marble desk in my office, which I loved. And Spencer comes in as my assistant. And that was totally a fake thing for the show. I didn't really need an assistant. Like, we had enough people that worked at the studio to do everything that needed to be done. And I fully had my stuff like under control. So I mean, you can even see it in the scene. I'm very much making up tasks for her to do, like, hey, can you walk these over to Terry Thomerson? I could have 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Terry's office is like right down the hallway. So I'm making up stuff for her to do. What this was after I moved out, Kevin would reveal to me, because we were pretty close during like my Holly's World era and we would talk a lot. And he revealed to me that towards the end of Girls Next Door, they knew that Kendra was leaving or going to do a spinoff or something like that. And they knew that where the show was going to go, it was going to go like be about like me and Hef settling down and like my life at the studio and whatever, Playmates. And he was like, I think the reason he told me this story was he was talking about beaches and he's giving me the whole backstory. And then he was like, so when we were talking about it, and granted, all this is going on behind our backs. Like, we're just living our lives, not knowing we're being puppeted and planned for. And he was like, so, you know, Hef and I would talk, what's Bridget's show going to be? And then I got this offer to do a beach show. And she said she was interested in that. So I'm like, that's the show. So that was the whole like story. But we didn't know any of this was going on. But I think it started around this time because Kevin was like, we're going to start focusing more on you in the studio and your work in the studio. What if you had like an assistant or somebody you could bounce off of at the studio? So I suggested Spencer. And I really like her there. Like, from what I'm watching in the interview, I think she's great with the girls. I think she's fun.
Yeah.
I think she's maybe not what we were looking for as far as reality TV, because you want somebody who's a little like, I feel like what it takes to be a good reality TV personality is you have to be a little raw around the edges. You have to either be, I don't give a fuck, or kind of unaware. So you're spewing stuff that spouts conflict. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of be an attention whore and like really want to be seen in some way. And I don't think Spencer was that. I think she was just very nice and cute and fun.
But you can tell that even she's like, what am I doing here? Because she walks in and she's like giggling and she's like, what do you want me to do today?
Yeah,
and she's like, I feel like she's going in her head, this is so stupid. Like, why am I here?
And I talk about how having her around frees me up to do other things like decorate the studio. And I was already free to do that. And really redecorating the studio just means like replacing the photos that were up.
Yeah.
Because there were all these centerfolds, like bigger than life centerfolds lining the hallway. And there were skylights in the studio. So all the centerfolds were just very faded. And it just makes the whole place look run down and outdated and old. And I also felt like on the show, I'm joking about like pubic hair being the issue. Like, they all have bushes that are like bigger than a thong, but I'm just doing that to be silly. Like, that's not really the reason. It's just, I felt like the fact that they were faded made the studio look run down. The fact that they were outdated made Playboy look behind the times. And I think there was like one brunette on the wall and everybody else was a blonde. There were like no women of color, no variety. So I definitely wanted to change that up. I was also excited about putting centerfolds I worked on the wall and like new updated things. I ordered some new like celebrity covers to be on the wall, like stuff I thought was like more relevant and, you know, bigger names and stuff. So I thought that was definitely an improvement. And they don't show it on here. They might show it in a later episode. I don't know. But women would come in every Friday to do Polaroid tests. Like, there was kind of like one of the official ways you could get into Playboy besides sending your picture in is you could call the studio and make an appointment to come in on Friday. And at the time, like, Bill White would do it. He was like the videographer guy. You see him later in this episode. And girls would come back one by one and do like a Polaroid test. But it was so janky because there was nowhere really to put the girls and nowhere special for them to change. They would just like change into the robe and like the wardrobe room. And then they would take them to like the back end of a set and do like some Polaroids. It was very like,
oh, I've gone for the Polaroid test before.
And it wasn't a fun experience.
It was a little tiny room.
Yeah.
And they did it against like the back of a closed door.
Mm-hmm.
With like there was like a little couch and a chair in this room. I don't even know what it was, like a little green room type thing.
Yeah.
Horrible overhead lighting. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just ick. But I was like so desperate to like get another chance to come back that so, I did it.
Yeah. So what we ended up doing was we took one of the empty offices and we decorated it cute and made it like a really cute little room with like a makeup vanity and stuff. So at least there was somewhere cute that was like a destination to take the girl for the Polaroid where you didn't feel like you're being ushered onto like the back of a set with like all this scaffolding and stuff like that. So that was one of the things. You don't see it on here. And it's funny when they focus on the centerfolds on the wall, they play some like 70s porno music.
One of my favorite health hacks over the past couple of years has been Kettle and Fire bone broth. They come in some really delicious flavors, and I love it because it's a super easy way for me to get my protein in the morning. It has 19 grams of protein per serving. It's so much better for you than just grabbing a quick breakfast bar or something like that. It's great for your gut health. Kettle and Fire bone broth is rich, savory, slow simmered, and tastes as good as it is for you. It helps with gut health and digestion, muscle recovery and energy, and immune function. You get all of this without changing your whole routine. You just heat it up and sip. It's made with 100% grass-fed and finished beef bones or organic free-range chicken bones. There's no additives, no preservatives, no weird stuff, just clean, real ingredients. And with up to 19 grams of protein per serving, it keeps you full between meals and can help curb cravings. You'll see a difference with your gut health and cravings. Many people notice less bloating and fewer snack attacks, and that was the solution I needed in my life. Kettle and Fire is the easiest upgrade to your routine. Comfort you can sip, steady benefits you can feel, and real nourishment you can feel good about. My favorite is the lemongrass ginger flavor, and I also love the turmeric flavor as well. For a limited time, you can get a free carton of Kettle and Fire bone broth by going to kettleandfire.com/next level. Just buy any three cartons in store, and they'll pay you back for one. This works on any flavor at any retailer. You can find Kettle and Fire in over 22,000 plus stores nationwide, including Costco, Walmart, Target, Publix, Whole Foods, Kroger, and Sprouts. That's Kettle and fire.com/next level.
And then they start pulling all the photos off the wall. And then I feel like this was a wild line. You say, I have another picture to get rid of.
It does seem like a wild line. It doesn't seem true to the thing. It shows me talking in the hall with Bill White, the videographer. I have Harlow because I'd like brought her to the studio to be like studio dog for a day, and she just barked at everybody. So that never happened again. but I knew it would be funny if I took one particular picture off the wall because it was Kimberly, Hef's wife, and I put it in the back and I kind of giggle running away. But they have me say a line that goes over it like, what was it? What was it I said?
You say, I have another picture to get rid of.
And then Nate is like, one of the security guys at the back. He's just kind of shaking his head and laughing.
I know.
So it's kind of like a cute, funny moment. But then in commentary, I say that that caused drama.
Yes.
And I don't remember what the drama was, but I'm assuming Kimberly like caused a problem over it.
She must have called Hef or the studio.
Which is interesting because I think it's silly. And like, I'm clearly doing it on purpose because I think it's a funny gag. Like, oh, this is Hef's wife, so I'm going to get rid of this one. But I don't think it's mean. It's not like we're mean about her appearance or anything. The one I thought was meaner was when I'm redoing the gym and I say there's a lot of outdated stuff down there and they focus in on Kimberly's thing, which was not my doing.
Right.
Or I say something like, it's something insulting, like there's a lot of rundown stuff in there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like this I thought was funny, but I don't think it's like rude and insulting. But I think because I'm involved, that was the one maybe she wanted to pitch a fit about.
So the next scene, you're down in the office and Hef walks down.
Yeah, Hef's in there. Norma's in there. She's telling me about.
Wait, it's such a blast from the past because you are in the snooping corner.
Oh, yeah, where, like, just the stuff was laid out.
Yeah, and you even say, caught snooping.
Yeah. But it's not really snooping, though. Like, the shit was laid out.
Yeah.
But I always just wanted to know, like, what's coming down the pipeline.
So just so you guys know, there were these folders. Like, when you first walked into the office, not Mary's office, but Norma's office, there was a little tiny counter space there. And there were usually, like, folders kind of set there. Mm-hmm. There were stuff that Hef needed to look at. But if you were to open them up, it would talk about, like, girls that might be coming out and testing or staying with us, or, like, important emails or information.
And I always wanted to see the brown book of, like, the upcoming
issues. Yeah, the brown book would sit there.
The brown book was always there.
So if you wanted to snoop, that's the little counter to really snoop on. I would, like, peek at things, but usually I was, like, too scared to like look at stuff or whatever, but you were always
nobody ever stopped me though. So like, so it wasn't anything I wasn't supposed to see.
Yeah.
The only time I would get stopped is if it was like our issue.
Yeah. It's just funny because it just reminds me of that. Like, I remember, like, oh, go check the office. Like, I would, like, encourage you to do it, too. I'd be like, oh, go check the office and see, like, whatever it was that we were, like, guessing about or whatever.
So Norma's kind of, like, explaining to me what girls are coming, even though I already know who's coming, to help pick them. She shows Angel's picture. She's like, Angel's from Vegas. She had her agent submit her photos. And when her photos came in, I remember looking at her MySpace, and I could just tell she had so much personality by her MySpace that I thought she would be a good choice for the show. Because we wanted to pick girls that we thought not just had a chance for Playmate, but would be interesting on the show.
Yeah.
And then Valerie had sent in Polaroids, and I think she has such a cute look. Like, she kind of has this, like, because her hair is, like, black and it's kind of, like, teased up. It's almost like this Priscilla Presley look. Like, that's what the look kind of reminds me of. Kind of like 60s vibe.
I have a quick question before you keep going. In interview, you say Playboy gets tens of thousands of submissions every year from girls who want to be Playmates. Is it really tens of thousands? Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy that that many come through and it's still so hard to, like, find one.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And then Melanie was the next one. She had sent photos in, and I think Hef had picked her to come in to test more so than me. And then Kayla was somebody I had met on MySpace, and I had asked her if she was interested in being a Playmate. And usually I was comfortable approaching girls on MySpace because MySpace was not a very discoverable platform. And you had to go in and you had to add everybody who wanted to follow you. They couldn't just automatically follow you. So I would see people would come in. So people who would follow me, I assumed they, like, knew who I was or knew the show or knew Playboy. So I didn't feel like it was that weird to be like, oh, would you ever be interested in posing? It's not like I'm, like, cold asking some random.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about how sometimes the candid photos you see on MySpace are a better indicator of what you're going to get, because even back then, catfishing existed. Like, sometimes girls would send photos in and then they'd show up and they just don't match the picture. So that's why I would go the extra step to try and, like, look them up online. And people weren't online as much as they are now, but MySpace was kind of a go-to back then because they'd post their candid photos and people didn't really have the capability as much as they do now to, like, retouch stuff to put on MySpace. Like, there was no FaceApp or Facetune. Like, you really had to, like, either no Photoshop or something. People just weren't really doing it as much.
Definitely. There's another thing in this that took me way back in the scene. In commentary, we say Meatball as Duke runs in because Norma used to call him Meatball. And I completely forgot about that until, like, I was listening to this and I was like, oh my God, it's one of those things that kind of, like, transports you. Like, you're looking at that counter and, like, snooping, and then Meatball. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm there right now. It's, like, weird.
Duke, the way his shape was, if you look down at him when he was on the floor, he always kind of looked like he swallowed a meatball. I don't know if that's why she called him that, but that's what I thought. So Angel gets dropped off at the back gate. I'm there to meet her. And later I would ask that the Playmates be dropped off in front because I felt like the back gate, like, I know they're doing it because it's close to the guest house, but I feel like it's such a non-glamorous way to enter. Like, you should see the big gates. Yes. You should see the Playmates at play sign. You should see the driveway and the house. Like, that's just so much better, I think.
It is much better. But, like, even way back in the day when I tested, I got dropped off in the back gate. Mm-hmm. So that's something they've been doing for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
And I know it's for convenience. But, yeah, it's kind of weird when you're being dropped off the back gate. You're like, oh, wait, this isn't. Not what I thought, but you're so excited. You don't care. Like, you're just so excited. You're like, you could drop me off in the dumpster. I don't care. Like, this is amazing.
And my first thought watching this back is Angel was a baby because, like, we're still close friends now. And she's just, like, so young in this.
Yeah. So she says in an interview, Angel says, my name is Angelica Perino.
Yeah.
And I'm 18 years old from Las Vegas, Nevada. When I first heard about this opportunity for Playboy, it wasn't from my doing. I heard about it through my agency. I didn't know that they sent my photos in. So it was kind of a shock when I got the call that said, guess what? You're going to be going to the Playboy Mansion for the weekend just to test. I felt like a dream and like I needed somebody to slap me to wake me up.
And in commentary, we're talking about Angel being a flake to the point where, like, I'm screaming in the mic, like, as if she's listening, Angel, you're a flake. And then I go, yeah, but now she texts me now and I can't hang out because I have a boyfriend. But it's so interesting to think, because she went through this really flaky phase, but she was also in like an abusive relationship and the guy like wouldn't let her show up a lot and things like that. And I didn't really know the extent of it at the time. And then I'm saying, oh, well, now I can't because I have a boyfriend. Because at that point, I was in a horrible controlling relationship. Like I couldn't leave the pyramid without security. So it was just like crazy.
It is crazy.
And it's crazy just how you can talk about something so flippantly and there's like darkness behind it.
Mm-hmm. And in commentary, Kendra says, I really like her, which is interesting because there's going to be a contrast to somebody else coming up later.
Yeah. And I love this real moment they catch where Angel and I are just sitting there and she's like, okay, so what does Hef do all day? Wait, what do I call him? Do I call him Hef? Because I feel like that's so real. But for some reason, when we've met the new girls in the past, you're not really catching those little moments.
Right.
Where people are coming from not familiar with this world at all. And they're like, so what does he do all day?
Yeah.
And I talk about how when we were out in public, people always call him Hugh.
Yeah.
Which is so weird because nobody called him that except his brother.
Yeah.
And then Angel in her confessional talks about religion being really big to her, which is like the first time we're seeing a character like this on the show or addressing that as a reason that somebody might not pose.
Right.
And then Angel, as Angel and I are talking, some Louisiana twang music starts playing because Valerie from Louisiana is being driven up in the limo.
As summer is winding down, I still like to do the simple summer makeup looks for days I want to look refreshed without going full glam. So I like to put a little highlighter in the corner of my eye to look a little bit more bright-eyed and refreshed. I like the Thrive mascara. Oh, it makes my lashes look so long. I love it. A little foundation, a little bronzer, and just a hint of color on my lips is what I love. Because summer is all about looking and feeling your best without piling it on. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for a simple, clean, and radiant summer look with minimal effort and maximum impact. And I know Holly and I have talked about it before, but the holy grail of mascara is the Liquid Lash Extension Mascara from Thrive Cosmetics. It's vegan tubey mascara with over 40,000 five-star reviews. It's sweat-proof for the summer. It comes in six shades that last all day without clumping, smudging, or flaking. It makes your lashes look so long by wrapping around each lash from root to tip. Easy removal, slides right off with warm water without yanking out your natural lashes. It has nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. We really love it. So maximize your look with minimal effort. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/next level for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/next level.
And Valerie's wearing something that I think looks really uncomfortable for plane travel. She has like a short skirt and like high heels.
Maybe she ran to the bathroom at the airport and changed.
Maybe, or like switched out of her shoes or something. Because I always get so cold on a plane.
I either get really cold or really hot.
Yeah,
like it's hard to just be comfortable.
Yeah. And it's weird also because in Angel and Valerie's confessionals, they're both wearing peace sign necklaces. Like that must have been in style with that age group at the time.
Totally. In an interview, she says, I'm Valerie Mason. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana, but I live in Texas right now and I'm 19 years old.
And I think we just have to say that like Angel's 18, Valerie's 19, and they're both like the sweetest, most polite, nicest, not keeping people waiting, not being rude, just because I know people like to point to age to some people's behavior a lot.
Right.
And it's like, it's not just an age thing, guys. It's a personality thing.
Right. Even my sister, I know we've brought that up before too, but my sister was even younger than everybody and was more on time and respectful.
And just considerate.
Yeah.
And with Valerie, you're also catching something interesting because she's coming as like an outsider and somebody who's watched the show. And she's saying like that meeting me was like meeting a real celebrity. And then she's meeting Hef and he's so famous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because I don't know if this is the first time we're seeing somebody out of the box in that way where they're kind of referencing the show without referencing the show, but have we?
I don't think we have.
Yeah, it feels like a
first. I mean, maybe slightly just with like people coming to signings and things like that,
true.
Talking about us, but not like somebody like at our house that I know mm-hmm. of. I was trying to think of maybe the contest winners or something, but I feel like they didn't even go there with that.
Yeah, you're right. And then we're cut to us in the dining room. There is a deleted scene that's really cute where it's the only evidence of me like giving the girls a tour where I'm showing them to dial zero and you can order everything. And they do this cut of Angel like all weekend or however long she was there, just ordering and ordering and ordering and ordering. It's really cute. I posted it on my Instagram story a while back, very while back by the time this airs. So we're in the dining room and Hef comes down and introduces himself to the girls. And I wonder where he's going because he's already in a shirt and jeans. Like I
was wondering too.
We're going to Saddle Ranch later in the day, but I feel like he wouldn't usually have been dressed that early. Like, I don't know if he had to like go to a doctor's appointment or something before then. Sometimes stuff like that would happen. It was rare that he needed to leave the house, but every once in a while.
Yeah. And in commentary, I mentioned that Valerie met us in Dallas when we went and we had so much fun. And then we also talk about going to wanting to go to New Orleans again. But I say, oh, I won't be in town this year for Mardi Gras. I'm missing Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, and probably the golf scramble.
I noticed that too. I thought that was really cute how you're off living this new life, but you're still thinking of things in like the mansion social schedule.
Well, because it was still part of my life. Yeah. I thought it was going to still be part of my life and that I was going to try and, you know, still incorporate as much of it as possible.
Do you feel like you've carried any traditions from the mansion into your real life without even realizing it? Because I catch myself doing stuff that I like know came from the mansion, but it seems like just the way to do things. Like, remember when we had that seance at my house with Patty and I like laid out all the waters on the sideboard and like the way they used to do it at the mansion buffet?
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of things. There's lots of little things. It's hard to think of them because they just seem so natural. But like having extras of stuff, I know you've said you do this too, like having like two or three things so that you never run out kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember when I moved into the main bedroom, Brian Alea was like, okay, this cabinet is your sundry. So I would order stuff for Tina. So like keep like, there wasn't room for like everything I would use, but like you could pick like five or six things and they would always keep it stocked and there would be like a row of three. And I still to this day, like almost everything I buy, there's like a row of three and like I'll buy a new one to like replace the last one and like move them up.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I remember. Wait, I just had another one. There are things though. But they're small like that. They're like little things that you wouldn't necessarily, even just the way I schedule, like when I'm traveling, like I used to fit.
Do you do an itinerary?
Oh, I do an itinerary, but I used to do that before too. But I thought I used to fit a lot of things in before I was at the mansion. Mm-hmm. But when we were at the mansion, you really see how much you can really pack into a schedule. And I kind of do that now for better or worse. Like my schedule is packed from like morning to late at night. And like sleep is like, if there's time.
Yeah, it was so funny. We were with my friend Tanya yesterday and we were talking about our trip to Paris last fall. And she was like, and then I was running on Holly's schedule. It was crazy. Like, I do that. It's just like I torture anybody who travels with me because it's like, there's no wasted moments.
Yeah. In my trip to Lilydale and all that stuff, I think I tortured my friend Elizabeth. I think she was like, oh my God, I'm going to die on the schedule. Yeah. But I was just like, go, go, go. We'll sleep later.
Yeah. I know you're going to be texting me like probably for the rest of the week. Oh, I noticed this thing. Oh, I noticed that. And probably me too. Like,
yes.
It's just weird how, you know, we didn't grow up there, but I feel like we grew up there in a way because you just like had these traditions for so long that you just kind of adopt without even thinking it.
I wish I could carry on some of the social stuff too. Like right now I can't because of my, I'm like in still like transitional housing, but like, I wish I could have like Sunday fun in the sun or like, you know, Friday nights have game night or people over or whatever. Like, I wish I could do more of the social stuff or have like a big party every year. That's the party, you know?
Well, I wish I could do that for 4th of July, just for like my neighborhood or my friends or whatever.
Yeah. I want the slip and slides for 4th of July. I want the slip and slides for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there are things that I wish I could still do and I hope I will be able to do someday, but there are a lot of things. There are definitely a lot of things.
Yeah. So then Melanie, another candidate, gets introduced. And I'm kind of bummed the way this all played out because she was from San Diego. So she just drove herself up. And I feel like it just wasn't good for the show because she just kind of shows up and she doesn't really get the same welcome the other girls do. And I feel like I'm almost caught off guard, even though I knew she was supposed to show up. She pops in like she's almost like part of the furniture, like she's already been there. And I feel like she's already almost at like a disadvantage. I mean, not really, because everybody's going to be judged by their photos. But I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah, I agree.
Or she doesn't really get the same kind of intro.
I agree. I feel bad for her on that because...
Yeah, I feel like it kind of ruined the vibe for her a little.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 23, which isn't too much older than the other girls, but she seems so much older and more independent. And I feel like part of that is just because she drove herself up.
Right. In an interview, she says, "My name is Melanie Lorenzo. I'm 23 years old and I'm from San Diego, California. The mansion is crazy. Like you walk around and you get lost and everything is like old school, all wooden."
I thought that was so cute when she says everything's old school, like all wooden.
Yeah. I want to take a picture of everything.
Have you seen the interior of the Great Hall picture that Darren posted?
Just him standing on the stairs? Yeah.
Thoughts?
It's like a lighter wood now.
Yeah, like it's weird. It's like been sandblasted. Like it's still the same woodwork. And then they have like a brass handrail coming down on the
other
side.
Which I thought was interesting because Hef didn't even have a handrail
like
that.
He could have used it.
Right? So I think it's interesting that they have it in there.
Yeah.
The wood almost looks like a birch wood, like a super light wood now.
Yeah, it's very, very light, which isn't what I prefer. Like I love the dark wood. Yeah. Like to me, that just looks so good. But I don't hate what they did. Like, I like the fact that just, like, the wood was preserved. You know what I mean?
I would have liked it to stay darker. I would like to see the whole room and see what it looks mm-hmm. like before I actually make a total decision on it. But I feel like, oh, I like the darker, but...
I prefer the darker for me. Like, But I don't hate it. I feel like as long as, like, the wood's preserved, the important part of it.
Yeah, it's true.
I love having my coffee every morning, and sometimes I want to have afternoon coffees or coffee later in the day, and I just can't do it anymore. I just don't feel well when I do it. But I found a solution. Everyday Dose has the classic coffee taste you love without the nasty side effects, plus added benefits, no crash and no jitters. Everyday Dose offers coffee that does more. Coffee Plus features 100% Arabica coffee, enhanced with functional ingredients for smooth energy, calm focus, gut health, and skin support. No crash, no jitters, the all-in-one coffee that makes you feel as good as it tastes. And the coffee is available in two varieties. You can get a mild roast, which is like smooth and light-bodied with 45 milligrams of caffeine, a medium roast, which is rich and full-bodied with 90 milligrams of caffeine. Either way, both feature 100% Arabica coffee enhanced with functional ingredients for a smoother, more focused energy boost. And the ingredients undergo third-party testing to ensure purity and potency, free from mold, rich in active compounds. So we've got some exciting news. You can now find Everyday Dose in Target stores across the country. Celebrate with a buy one, get one deal. Just buy any two Everyday Dose products at a Target store near you and they'll pay you back for one. Visit everydaydose.com/GNL for more details.
So then the three new girls are walking around together.
I wonder what the Great Hall looks like now that it's the lighter wood and they took that awning down. So all the lights coming in.
It must be so light and bright in there.
I'm so curious, like a whole different vibe.
I wonder if the flooring is the same.
I feel like that would be a weird thing to change because it was nice. But who knows? I mean, they changed like that outside patio flooring. So maybe it's different.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
And this, I thought this was interesting too. They see a photo at the top of the stairs of Hef and they say, "I don't think we're allowed up there." And Angel says, "No, not yet anyway." But the respect and the vibe that people
knew.
They're
so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That people, but, and that just the general feeling that people knew that you don't go upstairs. It's private mm-hmm. rooms up there and you don't go upstairs. That changes when we're on our way out.
And we say something in commentary, right? Because she says, Angel says, "I don't think we're allowed up there." And in commentary, you and Kendra, who still have a presence at the mansion, go, either you or Kendra, I forget who says it. Now everyone is.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was really bad.
Like, and I know I've talked about this before, but like locking our doors, like just random people walking around up there. Like there was zero respect anymore for like, this is private up here.
It's so weird how just certain girls could set the tone at the mansion. Like for the first part of our time there, it was like the recruiter and the mean girls set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I feel we set the tone from like 2004 on. Mm-hmm. And it just affected everybody who came in. Like we never had a weird even girl come to test who was a problem, really.
Right.
And if they were, they just didn't last very long. Mm-hmm. It was just, people were just like cool and respectful. And then like the second we leave, it's like the vibe changed entirely.
Instantly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which we got some more dirt on that in an upcoming interview.
Oh, you guys, wait till you hear these interviews coming up. And like in one of the interviews, and she didn't say it, she said something similar to it in the interview, but afterwards she was like, you know, when you guys were there, everything was felt so genuine and sincere and like sweet. And the second you guys left, it was like toxic and dog eat dog.
Ew.
And she said that off camera, but she said something similar in the interview too, but she was just kind of elaborating on it later. And I was just like, that's what everyone tells me too. But like, it's crazy every time you hear it, that things change so much. And I mean, even just being there up until the very end, well, you know, until like January or whatever, I was seeing it happen already. But then I always just thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm feeling weird because I'm on the outs and stuff like that. But I think everyone felt it.
So crazy. And you know what? I just love this scene so much. And seeing the three girls out in the backyard, it's like when I rewatched this, I got the feeling of like, it's like watching a whole new generation of girls like exploring like the positive parts of the mansion for the first time.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a whole new generation like girlfriends that are replacing us or anything, but they're younger enough from all of us that it just feels like, oh, how cute. Like a new generation is coming up here and like discovering the mansion. It's just so like heartwarming for me to see.
For me, it was super nostalgic watching it because it felt a lot like my first time testing. And like, I really got along with the girl that was there testing the same time I was. And we went around and did all these things together
and
took pictures for each other and stuff. And it's just so interesting because this is like, I don't know how many years later, like 7 years later, 8 years later, I'm not sure. And it's still happening like that. And there's still like really good female relationships forming and friendships and people are supportive of each other and stuff. So it just made me feel kind of nostalgic for like my first time too.
Yeah. It's so cute.
And then Kendra in commentary is talking about her first time at the mansion. She's like, Bridget, do you remember the first time I stayed at the mansion? And I called you because I was like, can you help me? Like, I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get from the guest house back to the house. So I like went out and got her and stuff. But not only is that cute and like relevant to the scene, but like also, again, don't say we never helped you. Don't say we weren't your friend.
Exactly.
Don't say like we were treated you mean.
And the mansion, I mean, when you first arrive there, if you don't know the lay of the land, it can be very disorienting. Like, where am I? And disorienting too, because like I remember the difference between when I went to my first Midsummer's party versus my first Fun in the Sun when there wasn't a tent in the backyard. It looks very different.
Oh, way different.
Like you have to like reacquaint yourself.
Yeah. In an interview, you're talking about how much fun it was to get to know Angel and Melanie and Valerie. They're all really cool, but I still got to meet one more, Kayla, and I'm excited to see what she is like.
Yeah, Kayla doesn't come along until a little bit later. It's just so cute, too, with them. They all have their digital cameras. That's another like blast from the past.
Yeah.
They all have their digital cameras. They're all just taking pictures of random things. And before we get into the Saddle Ranch scene, we need to back up a little bit because where are you? What's the timeline? What month were we filming this? What were you doing? It also like loops back into another episode we filmed. So tell us that.
So this is happening very first week of September. This is probably around September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And that September 1st is the day my brother came home to the mansion. And we were there the first couple of days. So maybe this was more like the 4th or 5th or something. But then we went home to see my family. And I don't remember for sure, but I suspect that originally I was probably going to stick around to film the scene at Saddle Ranch and to meet all the girls, but my stepdad had a heart attack. And so I think my brother and I kind of expedited our trip home and went home maybe a few days early to go be with my mom and him and get him back from the hospital and stuff like that. So I think that's why, I know I was home visiting, whether we expedited it a few days and that's why I missed the scene or whether it was always planned that way is what I'm not sure about, but that's where I was.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was like, why wouldn't Bridget be at this?
I know.
It just doesn't make any sense. And it's a
Me too. I was like, this is weird. Like, I would totally, like, I would help you give a tour if I could have. Yeah. Like, I would definitely be going to Saddle Ranch. Like,
yeah, and it's an interesting episode. It's very different because we're like minutes in before we ever see Kendra. Like when she first pops up, I made a note like, oh, whoa, we're 10 minutes in and we haven't seen Kendra. But we don't see you till the very end. It's like very unusual.
Yeah, you guys, I make a blip in there and then that's it. Like I just like kind of go to a, well, we'll talk about it. But I just yeah. like pop in for a second and that's like it. I thought it was really cute how in the guest house, the new girls are all like, telling each other, like, what about this outfit? Let me look at your outfit. Like, yes. Oh, it looks cute. Like, you know, talking about what they're wearing and everything and walking up to the mansion together and all telling each other how good they look and stuff like that. Like, just super supportive and sweet.
It's so great because, I mean, even checking back in with everybody after all these years, like, everybody just has really positive memories about this weekend and how nobody was competitive with each other. And again, like mentioning the ages again, some of these people were 18, 19, and everybody's just so cool. And I just love that for all of us.
Yeah. In interview, Valerie says, the best part of this experience so far has been the bonding with the girls. I'm glad that they are really nice and they are not like, oh, that's my competition. They're just so cool and down to earth. And then in an interview, Melanie says, this whole experience of meeting everyone, getting along with everyone, I feel like now more than ever, I want it more just because I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this Playboy family. And I made a note in there. That is exactly yes. how I felt when I went and tested too, because it was such an amazing experience. And the other girl that I was testing with, and I was sharing a room with Stacey mm-hmm. Fuson, who was already a playmate, mm-hmm. and everybody was so nice. Hef was so nice to me. All of his friends were so nice to me. The other girls were all nice to me. Like it just, and I really wanted it before I got there. But once I was there, like I wanted it more than ever because yeah. I was like, I need to be a part of this Playboy family.
Yeah.
Like I just love it. And unless you've experienced, I guess it's, and maybe people kind of get the gist of it from the show, but it was like something so powerful to me. Like I was just like, I always knew I wanted it before I went and I could see the kind of family connection. And mm-hmm. I'd heard how everybody's like family, but when you go there and you experience it, it's just like, no, I need this. It doesn't become I want it anymore. I need yeah. this in my life. Like I want this.
And I'm really glad we could get it back to that place where things felt positive up there, even if it was just for a little while, because it was so not positive for like a chunk of years before this 2007 era.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy how we were able to change it like that.
And I believe we did. It was you and I that did that.
For sure.
Like we just like sunk our heels in and we're like, we have to do something to fucking change this place.
Yeah.
Like,
it needs to be a positive experience for females coming in. Like,
yeah.
There's no reason why it shouldn't be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's crazy how quickly it went back downhill.
That is mind blowing.
It's just wild.
And that the fact that, so Hef saw that it changed, felt that it changed, was super happy with how it was. The fact that he would let it just be taken away like that so quickly.
Well, I think there was an element. But also I was like thinking about it and just thinking about how at the tail end of Hef's and my relationship, like there wasn't like a lot of sex going on. Like I was doing in vitro, like I was going to bed early because I had to work at the studio. And I think he was just so eager to get back to the gross, disgusting orgies. And I say gross, disgusting orgies because I've heard stories from some people that were going upstairs after we left that blow my mind and are grosser and weirder than anything we ever had to like experience. And I just feel like it's that taking over again. And whatever he thought he had to do to get to that, he was ignoring everything else. Like, wasn't really getting to know Crystal as a person, didn't care about how everybody was acting. The twins can be beating each other up in the hallway and he doesn't care. You know what I mean? And it's just gross.
Yeah. Especially coming from a time where it seemed like everybody was so happy and things were so positive and everybody was getting along and like things just seemed so good, even for him.
Yeah, and I think just like the three of us leaving all at once just really like shook him because he felt like he was out of control.
Yeah.
Even though he should have seen that coming from 500 million miles away.
Yeah.
But it's wild. But at least we had a moment.
There was a moment, and this is the moment, and it's a good,
yeah.
It's a good...
Like 2007 was probably the best year overall, I think, because 2008 is when everything started to fall apart.
Yeah.
But 2007 was good.
Yeah.
For the most part. There were hiccups here and there, but...
I agree. I thought, in my head, I thought 2008, for the most part, was good for me. But looking back on it, I see where things were starting to crumble. But at the mm-hmm. time, I just thought we were getting more shit than ever.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, kind of financially and opportunity-wise, 2008 seemed like the best year possible. But...
When, I was breaking down.
Yeah, as yeah. we're reviewing this, I
Hef
can
was
see
breaking down.
I can see that it's actually falling apart in 2008. And so yeah. that 2007 would be the best probably year for like just
everything.
Calm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A happy medium on everything.
Yeah. So we'll see you next week. We will meet you at Saddle Ranch. Woo, if you'd woo. Like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. If you would like to check out our merch, it's at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Oh my God, we should totally go to Saddle Ranch.
No, that's what I was kind of, because when Angel was in town for her interview with Tanya, we stayed at the Magic Castle Hotel and we went to eat at Yamashiro. But that was like a second. I just didn't go because it was kind of like out of the way. Because like the studio's here, Hollywood's here, and Saddle Ranch is a little there. But we should have. That was kind of one of my contenders. Like we should have gone to Saddle Ranch.
Well,
I haven't been there in a milli.
Me neither. But we should still do it. We should do like a little video.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Mwah.